How many of you have gone and seen a Jurassic World? Okay, okay, all right, a little better than last night. how many of you have seen any of the Jurassic Park movies? Okay, oh, very much better. All right, we don't have near so much work to do this morning. I have to confess, I'm not a huge fan of the series. But you know, you got to do what you got to do. So. Over the last couple of weeks, I found somebody who has a box set. They are a huge fan. They've got all three of the first movies in a box. And I borrowed it, and over 2 days, I binge-watched the first three movies. Right? And caught back up on the theme of the series. And the theme of the series really was life will find a way. Life will find a way. On the island, or the human surviving, or the dinosaur surviving, one or the other. And this one's a little bit different, if you've seen it. And so we'll watch the clip about Jurassic World and the Indominus Rex.
Wonder why there was a job opening?
Every time we've unveiled a new attraction, attendance has spiked.
That was awesome.
Corporate felt genetic modification would up the wow factor.
She was designed to be bigger than the T-Rex.
What happened to the sibling?
She ate it. We have an asset out of containment.
Hey, you see? Up close with four dinosaurs.
There's five dinosaurs.
Look. One, two, three, four.
Five.
You got 20,000 people. You got no more boats. You don't have enough guns.
If we do this, we do this my way.
You got eyes on target?
Light it up!
Something's wrong. They're communicating.
We're talking about an animal here.
A highly intelligent animal.
Very exciting, huh? Get your heart rate up, get your blood pumping, because you're too bored with summer, aren't you? There's not enough to do, and so you really need a movie like that that you can go watch, and that's what the movie company decided, is that even though we don't have another book, right, we've used all three of Michael Crichton's books, we don't really have a story, let's create one. And we'll call in a focus group and we'll ask them what they want to see in a dinosaur and we'll ask them what they want to see in a movie and then we'll make a movie. And the first half hour of the movie really makes fun of you and me because it's all about how dinosaurs aren't enough. We need a bigger dinosaur. We need a scarier dinosaur. We need a more ferocious dinosaur. We need a bigger movie. We need a scarier movie. We need a more ferocious movie because we're just not satisfied with what we've got. And it's not an uncommon theme in the Bible. It's right there in our Old Testament reading from Genesis 11, right? Is that the people of God were not satisfied with living a simple life on the plains and growing their food and harvesting and collecting and just living. But they had to create a legacy. They did not want to be wiped off the memory of the earth. And so they gathered together to build a city for themselves. In the middle of that city, they're going to build a tower for themselves. And they would build a name for themselves. When we seek to build a name for ourselves, bad things happen. Greed and corruption sneak in and we start to take shortcuts and we start to push other people down so that we can raise ourselves up. And God saw what was happening and said, this is bad. I've got to do something to disperse them. I know I'll confuse their language. I'll spread them over the earth. And that's what God did. And that's got its own problems, doesn't it? Is when there's differences, when we have language barriers, when we have religion barriers, what happens? When you're in the grocery store and you hear people talking another language, hair on your back of your neck stand up, your heart rate quicken, you start to kind of feel a little bit unsafe or unnerved. Maybe you're not so sure what they're talking. Maybe they're talking about you. And we get a little uneasy. And it was happened even in Jesus' time, right? As we look at the Samaritans and the Jews, we have these two different people groups. They probably shared a language, but they didn't share a religion. And they very much distrusted each other. So much so that Jews would, right, they would walk around Samaria. They would go out into the desert across the Jordan River to go between Galilee and Jerusalem and back. And they didn't trust those Samaritans, those cousins of theirs who didn't participate in the exile, but instead chose to stay in Palestine and were polluted by the other gods. And they worshipped not in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. No, they worshipped at Mount Gerizim. And these two people groups had a lot of distrust. There was a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety around them, and they didn't want to do anything together. Sound familiar? A little country south of the border, speaks a different language. We share a religion. But we don't trust them very much, do we? And the back of the hair on the back of our neck stands up when we get around people who are speaking another language with different cultural values, and we're not really sure that we want to be around them. And yet, this is exactly where Jesus goes. He goes to Samaria with his disciples. He walks right into the uncomfortableness. He goes to the well to get a drink of water, and there is a woman who knows plenty about uncomfortableness. She's there in the middle of the day, in the heat of the day, to carry her water back to town because she is different. She's got different values. She's got a hole in her heart that she's been trying to fill, not with God, but with love. And she's taken 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 husbands, and the guy she's shacked with now isn't even her husband. But she keeps trying to fill that hole in her heart. And Jesus has gone to her and asked her for a drink. He says, can you help me out? I'm thirsty. It's hot. I've been walking. She said, help you out? Why would you want my help? Jesus says, if you knew who was asking for your help, you would ask him for help. And he wouldn't just give you water. He would fill that hole in your heart. He would pour love into you. He would restore your relationship, not with the God on Mount Gerizim, not with the God on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, but with the God of heaven and earth. The Creator who breathed life into you wants to have a relationship with you, wants you to stop thirsting, to stop trying to fill that hole with whatever. He wants you to fill that hole with Him. I have been sent by Him to bring you living water that will well up within you to eternal life. She says, sir, I need that. I want that. Give me some of that. We went to Tijuana this week. A lot of us for different reasons. All of us not to create a name for ourselves, because there's no houses there with the names of any of the members of our team written on the outside of them. And to share a little bit of our experience, I've invited Paula Fisher and Hannah. Do you want to come up? No, that's fine. Paula has been a member here for a couple years, and she went on the trip this week with her daughter, Hannah. Hannah's 14. And Paula's going to share a little bit of our experience together. So let's welcome Paula up.
Thank you.
microphone. Thank you. Sit down. So how did you decide to go on the trip?
Well, it was, excuse me, I had the opportunity to be able to go this year, and it's something that I've wanted to do for a long time.
Okay. Just hold that up just a little bit more. Thank you.
I can hear me just fine.
Yeah, you can hear yourself just fine, yeah. They need to hear you. What gifts or abilities do you feel you brought to the trip?
Well, I had some building experience, and so I brought that. And I brought my desire to do something to make a difference.
Yeah. And what do you feel, having gone, what do you feel that you left there? Out of all of those gifts, do you feel that those were actually what you left there, or do you feel you left something else there?
Wow. It's emotional, so I left a good part of my heart there.
Mm-hmm.
House.
Yeah, you did leave a house.
Very caring, sharing people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what did you see?
This is the hard part.
Right.
What I saw was poverty beyond what you think you're going to see.
Mm-hmm.
And the joy, the children are so joyful and sharing and happy. You know, they're just, if you give something to one, they share with the others, and the ones who don't get don't complain or grout, you know, grump about it. And even though the adults have nothing, they give you and share with you what they have, you know, mm-hmm. and it's beautiful.
Yeah. Any people that specifically are going to be part of your heart and part of your memories?
Well, definitely the family that, you know, that my team helped work on their house. They're close to my heart because I was in touch with them every day. They helped us build. They were there all the time, you know, just doing what they could do. And so, yeah, they're definitely, and their children, and just all of Mexico, I think.
Yeah,
it was a really great trip.
Yeah. And how are you different now coming back from the trip?
Well, I'm not sure I can pinpoint exactly how I'm different, but I think that any time that you've seen what we've seen and done, you know, what we did, you just are. It's a profound personal difference. It's soulful. I mean, you can't do that and not have a profound change. Mm-hmm. I can't really pinpoint and say, well, this is different or that's different, but I see things a little bit differently than, you know, coming back. We had a little bit of the pastor had talked about reverse cultural shock, and my daughter and I both went through some of that, still going through. We're not used to being home yet.
Yeah. You spend a week very intense in Tijuana and drinking water only out of bottles or place where you knew we're coming. And then we come and we spend a day in San Diego.
Yeah, and it was beautiful. And, I mean, it was just, the hotel was beautiful and we're on the beach. And my daughter just thought it was great. And then the next thing I know, she's crying. And, you know, what's the matter? And she said, we have all this and they have nothing. And, you know.
Yeah, the high highs and the low lows.
Right, you know. I would just say that anybody that went through that definitely has a change.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else you want to share?
I'd like to say thank you to the people that helped us be able to go.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a very good trip for a young person to be able to make, and it was a good trip for me to be able to make, and so I really appreciate, you know, any help that was given for that
yeah,
mission.
Whether through the trivia night or through the mission endowment or other people.
I mean,
who
if you saw like the 75 children that attended the VBS, it was just, you know, it was a little hard to keep working during that time because, you know, just to see the joy on their faces and you know, the little things that make so much of a big, huge difference to the people is, you know, it's hard.
I know, right, yeah. We had little Ryan Martz, he's going to be a sixth grader here at Emmanuel Lutheran School, his parents took him together, the whole family went, this was their summer vacation. And Ryan had the idea that he would collect soccer balls from his team. He's part of a soccer traveling team. They collected 25 soccer balls and deflated them all, packed them in suitcases, flew them out to Tijuana, and then we sat around at night and we reinflated them all. And then they handed them out to the children of the valley. And
wow.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
Just exactly how excited they were to play soccer on this little strip of dirt road. And the balls never did go over the cliff, did they?
I don't think so, but it wouldn't matter anyway.
They wouldn't, because there'd be somebody down there to throw it back up.
Yeah. And
just amazing to see his little servant's heart.
I have to say something else about O'Ryan, too, because this was so cute. He had this determination that he was going to be able to nail a nail in. And I watched him from the beginning, you know, working so hard to hammer. And then by the end, you know, he was pretty darn good with the hammer. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's thank Paula for coming up and sharing. Thank you. I'll take the microphone. Thank you. If you did watch Jurassic World in the movie, there was a point where the new owner of the park, Mr. Mizrani, is talking about the dinosaurs and about the environment and the enclosures. And somebody was trying to assert that they were maybe more in control of the dinosaurs than they were. And Mr. Mizrani said, the key to a happy life is realizing that you're never in control. Key to a happy life is realizing you're never in control. The people of Babel had to realize they weren't in control of their legacy. God was in control of their legacy. And he was going to use it for his honor and glory. The woman at the well had to realize she wasn't in control. She wasn't able to create love, but that love was going to come to her. Paula and I and our team, we had to realize we really weren't in control. Whether it was driving on the roads or trying to build a house or trying to figure out how the house was going to get built. As people would just come out of the valley and grab a hammer and start helping us. And as frustrating, right, as that is, when you've got a plan of how it should be built and now you've got people helping you who you can't talk to and you didn't talk to, but now they want to help and you want to honor that. And the guy that was helping that she was talking about was Pablo and his wife Maria. And their two little kids, probably, I don't know how old they were, two or three, one, you know, a year and a half, something. And they would sit out there all day, find some shade where they could. And we got to know his story. And they were moving from one slum into this new slum because Pablo was a lay minister. And Pablo and Maria had an earnest desire, a missionary's heart, to bring Christ into this valley. This is where these 75 kids, right, were living in some pretty meager conditions. And Pablo helped me put up the roof, and he helped me put up the walls. And when we dedicated the house, we cried together. And we cried. Cried like two people who are filled with living water, who know the power of God when we choose to get out of the way. And that's a beautiful thing. And I thank you. I challenge you, wherever it is, you don't have to go to Tijuana. You can go somewhere else. You can go down to Buena Vista and just buy lunch and start talking to the people. get out of your comfort zone. Know that wherever you go, God's already there. And He's just waiting for you to show up and see what He's doing. To bring honor and glory to His name, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.